You are listening to a talk given at the Brisbane City Bible Forum. We hope you enjoy the presentation.
Well, welcome. It's terrific to have you here. My name's Glenn Honberg. I direct the City Bible Forum in Brisbane. Welcome to our night, when the fashion model met the designer. Tonight is a story about a search for fame, a search for fortune, a search for happiness. But the twist is, it turns out to be a search for God. On your seats or on the next to you, you would have found a program in that, though it's quite hard to read now. There's a little bit more about Tracy, some articles, some book recommendations and other online resources. We really hope you'll find these helpful in continuing the story from tonight on into the week and months ahead. As part of tonight, we'd love to hear your feedback. So there's a feedback card as well there. That's another way to continue the conversation and hear about future events. Get in contact with us. The format of tonight's very simple. In a moment, Tracy will come and speak. We'll hear her story. Then I'll be interviewing Tracy, and your questions will be part of the night. So there'll be a mobile phone number that you can... There it is. So you can send in your questions, and they'll be kind of fed into the conversation, and we'll explore more of Tracy's story. Well, over the last few days, I've had the privilege of getting to know Tracy. Tracy has lived in over 30 countries. She's visited more than 30 countries. She's fluent in Portuguese, Indonesian, English, but her French is rubbish, quote unquote. She now works as an international speaker. And as you know, she is a former supermodel. Tracy has a remarkable story, and she is a remarkable woman. It's my pleasure to invite Tracy up to speak tonight. Thank you, Tracy.
Good evening. I'm extremely grateful to be here, and thank you so much for coming, for being here with me. I'm extremely excited over this Australia speaking tour. I didn't realize it would be an amazing opportunity inviting by City Bible Forum. I didn't realize also it would be 6 cities and 9 flights involved. But one thing I also didn't realize is that how unique Australia is. When I arrived in Sydney, it was around 10 Celsius. Then I went to Canberra, it was 0. Then I went to Melbourne, which famous for 4 seasons in one day, which is it happened. There was sunny, rain, cold, and then it was warm again. So it was very unique. But then again, here I am in Brisbane, where it says that Queensland, it's beautiful one day, perfect the next. So I'm looking forward to explore 3 more cities before I going back home for a day and traveling again around Asia for the month of September. It's going to be a very busy month, but I'm extremely excited over this opportunity to share stories tonight. I know when people say, like, oh, Tracy, story is very personal. It's intervened with lots of people, and I agree. And that's why I was very reserved for the longest time. I think that story belongs to me alone and those people who is involved in the story. Until I realized that my story is no longer my story. It is a story about someone, a grand designer, who changed my life. So it is his story, and I'm part of that beautiful story that belongs to him. So I share the story because he did make lots of change that made me realize of his existence. As I mentioned, there's lots of change, even the weather in Australia, even in the world. There's so many change. Even in our life, there's so many change. We truly live in the in changing world, constant change. And I remember as a kid, there's hour that I wish it doesn't change, at least it doesn't go too fast. It is around 2 p.m., right after school, right after lunch, and hopefully it will go slower until 6 o'clock when I have to go home. I remember living in Bali, living 5 minutes away from Legian Beach, next to Kuta Beach, and I remember how much fun it is to be in the middle of the sea and swim and pretending I'm Ariel from The Little Mermaid. Until sunset comes, when the color in the sky just change colors, and I know that's the time to go home. That was the fun part. That wish doesn't change fast, doesn't go fast. But then the reality comes when in the morning I have to go to school, and I don't like school. I know there's so many amazing teachers here in this room. I'm sorry, but I wish you were my teacher. I'm sure I love school if you're my teacher. But I don't like school for many reasons. I didn't realize that, you know, what people say, oh, work doesn't hurt, but it does. And I realized, like, I have such a big identity crisis at a very young age. The very first one, it was actually my ethnicity. My parents met in Bali. My dad is blonde and blue eyes from Brazil, and my mom is Indonesian, dark skin, and I look Chinese. I remember walking with them and people questioning, like, who are they? I'm like, my parents, really? You don't look like them. And it was really hard. When I lived in Brazil, when I was 11 years old, people call me Oriental. Till I find out, it means Asians, because I don't look like Brazilian. And in Bali, they call me Bule, means Westerners. And I was like, I don't feel like I belong to any of these two places. So my very first identity crisis is my ethnicity. And the second one is actually my name. A name that named after tennis player Tracy Austin. A legend. She was champions. My parents really wish I'll become a tennis player. Both my grandparents from paternal, maternal side play really well. My parents play really well. My younger siblings, two of them, play really well. And who doesn't play? Tracy. It's really, I apologize to my parents many times. I just don't like tennis. Tracy Trinita, a real name given by my parents. But in school, that's not how people called me. People would call me Tracy Trinita, and Tracy means smelly fish. Imagine in school to be called smelly fish. So I don't like my name. And the last thing I don't like is about being tall for Asians. I remember when I was 13 years old, I was 173. 14 years old, I was 175. And when I'm glad I stopped at 181. But for Asians, I'm actually quite tall. I remember my friend, you know, Wayan, Made, Nyoman, and Tracy. It feels like giant. And in fact, they do call me giant sometimes, or bamboo tree, or coconut tree, and giraffe, that's my other name in school. I don't like school. I wish I can just hang out on the beach and just play. I don't have to go to school. But my parents told me I have to go to school, and I'm being obedient to what they told me to do. But something about to change my life. When I was 14, I experienced what they call from nobody to somebody. My mother thinks that maybe if I become a model, maybe I'll be more confident. Maybe I will have better self-esteem. I'll appreciate my height. And she signed me up to one of the biggest modeling competition in Indonesia. This CoverGirl is a prestige competition among young girls in Indonesia. And the winner of this competition became immediately the most famous model of the year. And I didn't think that I would even be part of winning or those kind of things. I was just joining because my mom told me so. I was there in Jakarta joining the competitions. There's around thousands of people sending their photos. They can only pick 20, and I'm one of the 20. And I remember in the final night, I was the winner. I didn't realize the implication of winning these competitions until I went back to Bali, and all of a sudden, people start to call me, "Hi, Tracy." They know my name. Finally, school called me by my real name. And all of a sudden, people start to be super nice to me, and they mentioned, like, they saw me on the newspaper this morning, they saw me on TV last night, and all of a sudden, my world just about to change. And that change just bring a different level of happiness. For the first time, I feel important. For the first time, I feel happier. For the first time, I feel loved by people. And there's so many adding things that I never thought I would have. I don't really have to queue in the restaurants. Sometimes when I go to shop, the owner just gave me free things. And designer sent me lots of presents. And I realized, like, wow, you just do a photo shoot for one day, you earn so much money, can last for months. And this world just keep changing, and I just realized, like, wow, I really like this feeling of being important. At a very young age of 14, I built a wrong philosophy about life. I really thought in order for me to be happy, I need to be rich. I need to be famous. And that's the only way to happiness, because for the first time, I'm happier. That year, I won two other modeling competitions, a prestige one, Indonesia Elite Model Look. Because I won in Indonesia, I automatically represent Indonesia in the international competitions. There's 65 countries, 77 contestants. They all meet up in the city of Seoul, Korea. And they all wanted to be the winner, because the winners will be changed. Their life will be changed because they will be automatically sign up a contract working with 100 agencies across the world based in New York City. This is the kind of competition for model, maybe equivalent to Miss Universe. So it is extremely important, and people just like really want to do it because they want to become international model. I won the one in Indonesia. I represent Indonesia in Seoul, Korea, and I'm one of the winners. I come back to Indonesia. My world just changed already, even more and bigger than ever before. I asked my parents if I can move to New York City, because in order for me to fulfill the contract, is I have to move to New York City. And my parents look at me, it's like, no, you can't move. You're too small. You're only 14. I was begging my parents for months. I give lots of excuses and theories and this. And one of the theories I said to my parents is this: Mom, Dad, I want to be the first. No one else in Indonesia ever become international model and work for elite model management across the world. I want to be the first, because first, no one will ever replace the first. But the best will those always be the best after the best one. You know, like they will always be the best. And so my parents said, nope. And I was begging my parents and begging and begging. And finally said, okay, fine. You can go, but only for 1 year. If you change, you have to go back to Bali and study again. So I make a promise to my parents that I will be a professional model. I'm not going to do any crazy things out there, but I also will do my correspondence study. And I promise I won't change. I'll still be the same Tracy. And they allow me to go. I'm extremely excited. I'm like, wow, from a girl in a small village in Bali, moving to New York City at the age of now I was about 14 going 15. I'm extremely excited. I can't wait to go to New York City. I never seen concrete jungle, but I'm looking forward to see it. I arrive in JFK knowing that the agency told me that somebody will pick me up at the airport with my name and will take me to model's apartment for underage, and there will be lots of other models, young models, 13, 14, 15 will be there, and it will be so much fun. I was arriving in JFK waiting for that person to pick me up, and nobody picked me up. I was waiting for 12 hours at JFK airport. Nobody picked me up. I have two options: calling my parents, and I know they will tell me to go back to the next flight to Indonesia. I'm like, I better avoid my parents in this case. I was like, what should I do? What should I do? What should I do? After 12 hours, I was hungry, I was tired, and I was thinking like, wait a minute, this is actually exciting. Thanks to Home Alone 2 movie. And I was just like, New York won't be that scary, except because there is no two men chasing after me, so this is going to be safe. I went to a hotel in Manhattan. I stayed there for 3 days until they found me. Nobody told me that room service is not free. Until the bill, and they're like, do you eat the whole thing? I'm like, I was just crying. Luckily, they pay for the bill because as they're sorry for not picking me up in times. That was the last glamorous, nice modeling life. Because when I arrived in a model's apartment, I was a small fish in a big pond. Nobody knows me. I have to start from zero. It was really hard work. Oftentimes when we see the entertainment world, when we see musicians, famous singer, artists, celebrities, we look at their lives so glamour. You know, they have so many people helping them, from hairstylist, dresser, and everything that they need. But that's later on when they become famous. But before everyone become famous, they have to do all the hard work. And nobody tell me this, that it's going to be really hard work. Every models have to go through auditions. means that you have to present your portfolio. They will see your photo. Sometimes they ask you to walk like a model, and you have to act for the commercial, and you have to do lots of things, you know, posing and so on, Polaroid and so on, in order for them to see if you are matching what they're looking for. And because New York was of the biggest fashion world, the best model from around the world arrive in New York City, try to make it. The first year, they have to make it. If they don't make the first year, they have to go back to their country or anywhere else but New York. It's the most selective place in the world for models. So everybody try to make it. And I remember, if I can count all my auditions, out of 100 auditions, maximum job I'll get 10. 90 will say no. And sometimes they say no, not in a nice way. In case you're wondering, really, she's a model? That was 15 kilograms ago. I was very skinny at that time. And I remember, like, people will comment, like, oh, you're too skinny. Or, where are you from? When I say from Bali, they're like, really? You don't look like Balinese. And all of these things, all of the comments, sometimes they're like, oh, your eyes is too small. Oh, you have weird looks. And all of these comments. They didn't know that I already have such a low self-esteem, let alone to be told all the things about my physical being that is not good enough for them. It hurt, it crushed my heart, but I realized, like, I cannot go back, because this is where happiness lay. Is if I will be famous one day, if I will be rich one day, then I will completely happy. Now I'm almost happy, but it'll get complete one day if I stay in this industry long enough. I work extremely hard. You know, the weird things about modeling world is that you take photos sometimes, a winter outfit in the summer, so you're sweating, and the makeup artist will come to you every 2 minutes to just take, you know, and wear your jacket, and you're pretending you're freezing, but you're extremely hot. And then you take photo for the summer, in the winter time when you're freezing, and like, Tracy, don't shake. I'm like, okay. You know, it was freezing cold of 5 Celsius in New York, and after pretending it's summer. It's crazy world. It's crazy, but I said no. I work hard, I want to be in here because I want to be happy. I also remember, you know, sometimes like being in this magazine, like after sometimes I started to work for lots of magazine, and I remember flipping a magazine page and realized like how much I like this model's hair. And I have obsession about hair. I really wish I have a thick Asian hair, but I don't. And every time there's a photo of a models using hairstylish hair products, I want to buy the shampoo. I want to buy the hair products. And I remember seeing this magazine and with these Asian girls, and I was like, wow, I want hair like that. I want to buy the shampoo. I want to buy the hairspray. I'm like, I looked at twice to the model. I looked 3 times, and I was like, wait a minute, this model is me. And I was like, wait a minute, on the day of the photo shoot, I don't look like that. They make me skinnier on the face. They make my hair look double the thickness. And they make me look like somebody else. All this photo shoot and everything. And I realized, like, wow, we are really in the industry of faking things to make it look amazing so people will buy it. And I was even fooled by my own photo. And that is crazy. And I was very much happy with all the achievement. I work in Paris Fashion Week, New York Fashion Week. I was in the campaign, or worldwide campaign, of United Color of Benetton for many months. Mango campaign, Vogue, Harper Bazaar, Marie Claire, Glamour magazine, commercials, in a movie as well. And life seems to be good from the outside. G.K. Chesterton says this: meaninglessness does not come from weary of pain. Meaninglessness comes from weary of pleasure. I didn't realize that my life started to walk towards meaninglessness. It was so much pleasure. Every day, I'll meet lots of different people, lots of different types of work, traveling involved, meeting famous people involved. In fact, I have a very good friend who will call me every 2 weeks, 3 weeks. She said, like, okay, Tracy, where have you been? What kind of photo shoot you did this week? And okay, tell me who's the famous person you meet at the party this week. And I'll be excited telling her, like, oh, I just got back from Jamaica for this photo shoot. And I'm also doing this magazine and that. And I remember the movie that we watched together about the sinking ship? Yeah. I met the guy. He's actually very nice. We talk and we hang out. And my friend, oh my gosh, that's so cool. And I said, hey, do you remember the singer that we keep playing the in the cassette in the car and singing out loud? Yep. That guy was sitting next to me at the dinner. And I was asking him questions. Oh my gosh, tell me. And I said, like, well, you know, I said to him, like, oh, hi, sorry, what's your name? I know his name, but I have to pretend. I have to be cool. You know, when you meet famous people, oftentimes you have to be super cool. And then I would say to them, like, your name, what do you do for a living? Excuse me, I have all the album at home, but I'm just like, oh, you're a musician, oh, that's great. And you just have to be like, super cool amongst these people. And I kept telling my friends about all of this story, and she gets so excited, and her line always ended with, Tracy, you're so lucky. I wish I can have your life. And I was just like, and I just smile, and I was like, oh, thank you. I don't dare to tell her this, that almost every night, when I start, I mean, I already gained fame because of what's happening at work. And I already gained wealth, a glimpse of wealth, because of the work I've done in New York, in Paris, and many other places. But I don't dare to tell her that every time I come home at night, I feel so empty. I feel there's something missing in my heart, in my life. I feel like meaninglessness. I mean, G.K. Chesterton was right, you know. Like, meaninglessness does not come from weary of pain, but weary of pleasure. Everything is wonderful. Everything's amazing. My family was fine. I have lots of friends. I have lots of amazing people I encounter every single day. I travel a lot. I'm, you know, like, the life was so much flavor, so much fun. And my heart was empty. For many times, for many days, for many months, I tried to avoid this feeling of emptiness. I say, you know what, if I shop, maybe I'll feel fine. I go shopping. I come back and feel empty again. I go partying, I go traveling, and still, the emptiness in my heart starts to grow bigger and bigger and bigger to the point it starts to hurt me. And I was thinking, like, I cannot live. It's so much pain in my heart of this emptiness. I cannot enjoy every other thing that I'm supposed to enjoy. And I stood there thinking, like, wait a minute. I really thought if I become famous, if I become rich, I'll be happy. I'm not happy. There's something wrong with my philosophy. It proven to be wrong. And when I look around me, all these famous people, famous models, famous celebrities, and they also look miserable. I mean, in the middle of a party, they can just like look like they're bored, like something missing. So I tried to find the answer. I asked around me, have you ever felt this way? And then they told me, Tracy, that's normal. I'm so glad it's normal. I asked them, what's the solution? And they told me, like, well, Trace, listen, it's simple. Monday to Friday, work hard, focus, earn so much money as you can. And Friday night, use drugs, go party and use drugs. Saturday, you can still use drugs, but Sunday, try to be sober so you can be ready for Monday and work again. It's so funny because at that time, I was thinking, like, no, I can't do that. Even I was far from my family, but my mom gave the best anti-drugs campaign. When I was 10 years old, we went to a mental hospital, and we're visiting a relative who used lots of drugs that make her become crazy and older and lost all her teeth. She just looked at me and said, if you want to look older, faster, and uglier, use drugs. I'm like, no. The best anti-drugs campaign. I just thanked my mom this year. I was like, Mom, that was amazing. Don't want to touch drugs because of you, Mom. And then the second one, people told me that, Trace, don't think deep stuff. You know, don't think. Just, you know, just let go. Relax. Enjoy life. YOLO. You only live once. Just go party. Just sleep around. Just do everything that you can. Just enjoy life. I'm not spiritual. I don't have any connection with God. But there's something about the idea of doing something now that I have to pay back later with my life. I'm so afraid of the consequences, reputations, and there's something about consequences of that kind of lifestyle. So I was like, no, I don't want to do that. I think my friend is so frustrated because I keep asking the same question to everybody, and one of them just told me, like, Tracy, if you want to live, go and die, kill yourself. And I'm like, I don't want to kill myself. Where do I go if I die? And I was like, what a friend. And then I realized that if the world cannot answer this emptiness, maybe somebody out there actually have the answer to how to fill this heart so I don't have to feel empty again. Then I look around me and I realize people who have religion, it seems like they're happier. And I'm like, wait a minute, that's it. They have God. I don't have God. I should have God. If I have God, maybe I will feel happy, like genuinely happy, just the way people seem to be quite happy when they have God. But then the next question is, which God? I come from such a mixed belief system. My maternal grandpa, Islam, he's a Muslim. My mother's she's a Protestant. And my father's have a family, Catholic. In Bali, we have Hindu temple, and we always do Hindu offering every single day. So I'm like, okay, which religion, which God? And I was like, you know what? Maybe if I just pray to the one who made the universe, if he's real, if he's true, he will reveal himself to me. So I come back to my New York apartment, lay down in my bed, looking up to the ceiling, and I say this prayer, God, the one who made the universe and everything in it, God, the one who made every single thing in the world, please reveal yourself to me. Please reveal yourself to me. And you know what happened? Nothing happened. I honestly wish to hear this voice, Tracy, what's up? It's New York City. God must speak like that in that language. But surely, God, the one who made the universe, hears the cries of human heart. And he did hear my cries. But the way God answered my prayer is not in my way, but it's in his way, in his perfect timing. I didn't realize this when it happened, but I realized it when I look back and I realized, God, you truly answered my prayer. Because my agency asked me later on, Tracy, would you like to move to Paris? I'm like, yes, maybe Paris will bring a new nuance in my life. It'll refresh everything. And actually, Paris is where God used to introduce himself in a unique way. It was through a friendship that somehow I went to church. At first, I said to her, like, I don't want to go to church because church, I don't go to church normally. On Sunday, I normally sleep until I'm hungry. Then I have to wake up to eat. That's around 3 o'clock in the afternoon. And my friends, like, keep insisting I should come with her. So I came. I sat in the church. I stand up sometimes when they all do worship and singing. And I look around me. And I was like, wait a minute. There's something different. When I look at people's face, first of all, they don't really wear makeup. There's no glitter on their face. There's no lighting, but their face look radiant. There's the glowing that I never seen in the backstage, in the photo shoot, in the movie set. There's something so radiant about their face. And I wonder, like, is it because they worship God that makes them look radiant? I was like, is it because they know Jesus? Is it because they're in relationship with Jesus, with God? But there is something within me just resisting to really, Tracy, don't just believe easily. In fact, at that time, I really thought Christian faith is the weakest faith. Because I read from someone, someone just read it to me and said, like, you know, when someone hit your left cheek, give your right cheek. I'm like, wait, what? When someone hit your left cheek, give your right cheek? No, when someone hit my left cheek, I'll punch him or her. No, yeah, you have to defend yourself. And I just don't understand. I just felt like it's such a weak religion. I have so many opinions, so many negativity about Jesus Christ. I never read the Bible. I don't know anything about him, but I don't like him. For no reason. For people's opinion about him, I'm just like, I don't like him. So I step back and I was like, no. I don't want to believe in Christian faith. I want to do my homework. I want to step back and realize there are a few religions that I was feeling like maybe one of these is where I can actually get to know God. So I put all these religions that I'm interested at next to each other. And I have so many questions they all have to answer. The same question that I'll give to each religion and they have to answer me. They have to answer me, and the one which makes sense and the one who's profoundly touched my heart but makes sense in my mind, that will be the faith that I'm going to proclaim as my personal faith. There, the faith that God will reveal himself through. So I was ready. I was in this journey of investigations of faith that I need to know. And I remember asking questions about, you know, who is God? Why God created the human being? What's the purpose of our existence? What's the meaning of the things I do every day? Even the question about morality. from God's perspective, from human perspective, and the question about destiny. Where do I go if I die? Because when my friend told me that I should just die if I don't want to live, I wonder where do I go if I die? I was really, after months of investigations, after asking questions to belief leaders, to friends, searching in the bookstore and find out the answer from many, many, many resources, I was shocked. I was shocked because in Indonesia, we have these famous word sayings like, all religions lead to the same God. We believe there's only one God. All religions lead to the same God. Maybe like all roads lead to Rome, leads to Rome. But when I study this, when I put next to each other all the questions, all the religions, all the answers, and I realize, wait a minute, they don't talk about the same God. The description of God is different. The description of the reason why God's human being has been created is so different. Sometimes they don't even know why human being been created in the first place. And even the morality, there's silver line, there's good, you know, do to others what you want them to do to you. That's the common things amongst these religions. But there's so many differences. Where do I go if I die? One faith says that you'll be vanished. You blended with Mother Earth, you no longer exist. And one faith says that, no. You know, you'll be born again, and depends on your past wrong. You can be trees, you can be animal, you can be human. And you have to keep getting better and better. Hopefully you get better in the next life. And you keep being born again and born again. And one faith says that, no, you're going to be born again until you reach perfections. Another faith says that, no. It's as simple as this. It's a simple math. Your good deeds will be weighed against your bad deeds. And which one's heavier is either you go to hell or you go to paradise. But there is one voice says that, no, you are a sinner. You failed. But for God so loved the world that he gave his begotten only son. So whoever believes in him not going to perish, but have eternal life in him. I was surprised when I see other faith is about human reaching up to heaven and hope that they have a better life. But this faith, Christian faith, is about God coming down to rescue the lost one. It was too good to be true at first. Really, God? Really? And when I found out about Jesus, that he promised he's the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through him. And I realized nobody else ever claimed that kind of claims. Nobody claimed to be the Lord of all. He did. He said he's before the foundation of earth. He's always been exist. And he is the creator of everything. My heart started to melt. He just breaks this wall of doubt, and I felt the warmness of God's love. After 1 year, I realized the Christian faith's response to all my questions not only logically makes sense, but it gives certain love in my heart. Because I didn't realize I hate a person of Jesus, even when I don't know him. But when I read the Bible, when I read his biography in the book of Mark, I was surprised how kind he is, how he is God, who the great physician who healed people, who give miracles to people, who bring people's dignity back. And I realized, wow, you are truly the grand designer of the universe, because you rose again and you give us hope that whoever believes in you will not going to perish but have eternal life in you. I become believer, I become Christians, because I felt the love I never felt before. I was so worried I'm going to become a boring Christian. But my option is just two. I become boring Christian but happy one. Or I look fine on the outside but I was so broken and empty in the inside. No brainer. I say yes to Jesus. Because I trust what I heard about him. I met so many people who have been changed by him. But this is what I didn't know. That he's about to change me. His transformative work in my life was so visible for others to see, even when I don't realize that. For the first time, I feel so liberating to be who I am. And my identity crisis has been healed because it's no longer attached in who I am, my wealth, my fame, my parents, anything else, but it's attached in him. I belong to Him, and that gives such a freedom. I went back to Marketplace. I became a model that was excited about life for the first time. I love my work. I love everything. For the first time, I'll be able to appreciate everything that God's given me. It's as if I wear a glasses, and God cleansed that glasses from dust, and now I can see the world in a better picture, clearer than ever before. I want to close with this. It is an amazing journey how God, the grand designer of the universe, displayed His majesty, the work of His hand, in my brokenness and changed my life and gives such hope for the future. I know we all wish to have something permanent. Sometimes we wish there's things just don't change, just stay the same. But there is a permanent place that He prepared for those who believe in Him. A place full of glory, beautiful, no more cry, no more sickness, no more insecurities. It's a place that He prepares as He promises the way, the truth, and the life. And in fact, when we believe, that lifestyle of heavenly lifestyle begins now as we believe in Him. And for me, only the grand designer of the universe can give such invitations. And I did accept that, and it changed my life. So I hope tonight we ask God, if we don't know Him, there is a verse in Jeremiah 33:3 says this, "Call to me and I'll answer you, and I will tell you great and mighty things in which you do not know." And if you know Him, live for His glory. Only Him, only God is the source of happiness, and it is permanent until eternity. Thank you so much for listening to the story, and we're going to share longer in the Q&A. Thank you.